You're listening to Casting Pod with Pete and Andy. Today on the podcast,
1990s, honorable or dishonorable.
Here are your hosts, Pete and Andy.
All right, everybody, welcome to our latest edition of Casting Pod with Pete and Andy. Today we decided to dive into the 90s and see, I mean, we're going to dump out a bag of 90s and we're going to sort through it like pickup sticks or something. I don't know if you sort through those, but, and we're going to hold something up and then deem it like, was this a good thing about the 90s or a bad thing about the 90s? So we're basically going to go honorable or dishonorable with this bag of 90s memorabilia. And,
Andrew, so,
do you consider yourself a 90s child?
Well, I think that I am pretty solidly, I'm almost the perfect age to have been the perfect 90s child. Born 86, that means I definitely spent from, what, 5 till 15 in the 90s. So that was, like, my exact formative years. So I'm
you were
almost perfect,
shaped.
But not quite. Because I think, like, you, 85, you have that one more year of real cognizance. So you're a little bit more 90s than I am.
Like, 6 to 16.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine I was still in the 90s when I was 15. I mean, yeah, I lived through the 90s, and I lived to talk about it, too, so that's the big thing.
Yeah. One thing we should mention, just, I'm going to mention this because it's embarrassing and I feel like I should be shamed for it. This is actually, we just did about, what, 15 minutes on the 90s?
Almost 20, yeah.
Yeah, almost 20 minutes on the 90s, and I looked at my recording and realized I was not recording. So, boo. Boo. But anyways, there's so much to talk about the 90s that we're not really sweating it. What should we talk about first this time?
Well, let's go into, do you want to talk about actors?
Yeah, okay.
Or an actor?
Yeah, I think that just spitballing, I kind of think that Tom Hanks is gotta be the actor of the 90s. I mean, Forrest Gump is arguably gotta be one of the movies of the top three or so movies of the 90s, right?
And then he's in a lot of, like, Philadelphia.
But that's 80s, though, isn't it? I think Philadelphia's 80s.
Is it? Oh, I was thinking it's, like, 90s.
You could be right. You could be right, but... But also, he's in You've Got Mail, which is pretty popular.
Sleepless in Seattle. I'm sure that was early 90s.
Yeah, I think that was 90s, too. Philadelphia was 93. Wow, you're right. I was way off.
Get some cred.
That's why I said you're more 90s than I am. Like, you're more on point with it.
Yeah, I was, like, full on 8 years old when Philadelphia came out. I was first in line at the theater.
That was a really good joke. I'm sure you were.
What else was he in the 90s? Was Castaway in the 90s?
I want to say that was early 2000s, but if you have a hunch it was in the 90s, then I'm willing to go with that.
It was, I'm guessing it might have been 99, but maybe it was like early 2000s. I'm not sure.
It was 2000 on the dot. So, good guess.
So, but yeah, he's a pretty iconic 90s. I think the one thing that hurts him a little bit, he's also fairly iconic 80s and fairly iconic 2000s. He's had a good long career.
Good point. I don't know. Oh, he was in Saving Private Ryan. That was in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah. Kind of went under the radar, but still pretty good, I think. Unpopular opinion alert.
Yeah, if you actually managed to see that one.
So, yeah, it's true. His longevity does really hurt him in that regard. Of being... Who are the competitors, though? Maybe John Travolta could be.
Huh.
Because he had,
that's a good question.
He had all those Look Who's Talking Now movies. That was John Travolta, right? Those were 90s, I think.
Yeah, those definitely were. I mean, anything with Christie Alley is pretty much going to go to the top of any list.
Top of my list, that's for sure. She was pretty cute. All right. So yeah. For Philadelphia. Apollo. He was in Apollo 13, Toy Story. Going back to Tom Hanks for a second.
Yeah, I could definitely see giving it to Tom, but, I mean...
Here's the thing. How about this? He had the most successful 90s as an actor, but he can't be contained just to the 90s, and therefore he can't be the actor of the 90s. Can you agree with that?
Well, I wonder who could be contained just to the 90s, like Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I'm not making Jonathan Taylor Thomas the actor of the 90s, Pete. I don't care what you say.
I just tried to find someone who was contained, like, entirely to the 90s.
Yeah, you're trying to shoehorn JTT into every conversation we have.
You know I've got a soft spot for the TT.
Well, he was pretty dang cute. I think it's... What has Travolta done since 2000? He's done basically nothing good.
No, like, yeah, he hasn't been in anything good in a long time.
I am pushing the Travolta for the actor of the 90s.
But what was he in the 90s? Pulp Fiction and Face Off? And the
those were, talking? You're saying those kind of dismissively, like, Face Off's not one of the best movies you've ever seen. He was in Broken Arrow, Get Shorty, never saw that one. Michael, where he played the angel. That was a good one.
I'm surprised you're not going with, like, Nick Cage or Sean Connery.
Well, they suffer from the same problem that Hank suffers from. I mean, yeah. Nick Cage is still killing it left and right.
Yeah, he doesn't miss.
I think that we're not going to top Travolta. I'm sorry. I'm not a big Travolta fan, but that's my answer.
Didn't Robin Williams have a pretty strong 90s?
Yeah, but he was, again, pretty... I never really liked Flubber. Was that 90s? I think that was later than 90s. They didn't have that kind of technology in the 90s, Pete.
Don't question me on this. I'm sure Flubber must have been 90s. I don't know. Was Patch Adams was probably 90s. Good Will Hunting. I don't know. Robin Williams had a pretty strong 90s.
When the first movie you bring up is Flubber, then how strong was that decade, really?
Well, the first one you brought up was You Got Mail.
Yeah, but that was on the fake podcast. I brought up Forrest Gump first on this one.
Well, okay. I'll let you have Tom Hanks.
I don't want Tom Hanks. I want John Travolta.
Oh, yeah. John Travolta, the first one you brought up with him was Look Who's Talking.
Yeah, there's nothing I can say to that. there's no comeback. But still. I think those are decent movies. All right, anyway.
Let me bring up the true thespian of the 90s. And I'm going to put this out there, and you tell me, honorable or dishonorable, Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Oh, man. Who would even begin to consider dishonorable for Bill Nye, the Science Guy? He taught science with... He had swagger before swagger even existed, Peter, and he brought it into the science classroom. How could you not respect that?
He rocked the bow tie.
Yeah, and that's just one of many excellent things he did. I think they even had Morrissey as a guest on his show once. So, I mean...
Yeah, he was definitely pretty baller. He made science fun.
I don't think I actually ever learned any science from Bill Nye. But to be fair, I don't think I ever learned any science, period, so...
I always kind of wondered... Well, in the 90s, I don't think I wondered, but... Ever since I've thought about him since, you just kind of wonder, like, how much science did he really know? Like, if he's spending all his time making, like, TV shows for kids, like, is he really, like, a true scientist?
Yeah, what were his credentials? That's a good question. I'm kind of curious. I'm gonna look up.
He may have gone to, like, UW or something. I feel like he's a Northwest guy, because...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. I think I've heard that. I don't have anything definitive to pin my hat on with that.
Well, I just thought of the well, never mind.
Oh, he went to Cornell. Okay, he's got Ivy on his resume. I'll give him some credit. He worked
at
Boeing.
Get back in the research lab.
Shots fired. Definitely honorable. I've actually heard, like, secondhand stories that he was a jerk in real life, and I choose to disbelieve them. But I can understand how it would happen. Like, when you're a science maniac on TV, just falling out of control, that gets to your head. You lose perspective.
When you wake up in the morning and you put on your bow tie, and you put on your lab coat, and you start thinking about making science fun for the kids. You don't do that if you're not, like, going to have a certain air of confidence about you.
Well, that's why, you know, one of the first words I used to describe him was swagger. The bow tie is definitely very swaggy.
You nailed it. You nailed it, bud.
Whew, sweet. All right, should we go to the next one? Next topic?
Let's hear it. Or you want me to give it?
I'll let you do one. Or I'll let you... Yours have been pretty good so far. I like them.
All right. Honorable, dishonorable. Frosted tips.
That's got to be one of the single most dishonorable things of any decade. Frosted tips. What a humiliating thing to have to talk about. What percentage of your 90s were spent with some sort of blonde or frosted tip situation going on?
I don't know if I spent much time with the frosted tips. I went more of, like, pure, full-on, like, hair dye, like, blonde, or... I don't know that I actually did the frosted tips. Maybe I did for, like, a year or something. But, yeah, so, I mean, way too much time. Way too much time.
Any time is way too much time. Oh, and I was one of the leading frosted tip advocates.
And who, what was your inspiration?
I don't want to get in that mind space right now, Peter. I can't get in the frosted tip mind space. I mean, people would come over and my mom would, like, frosted tip their hair. It was like a freaking barber. It was like
a
beauty salon. We're all getting our frosted tips. I mean, it never turned her out. Like, mine never worked. It was always orange and never frosted.
Like, now that you bring this up, I don't know if your mom did it to me or maybe it was my mom, but I must have had them because I remember you put on the little headpiece that had all the little holes in it, and you pulled out, like, your tips. Oh, it's all coming back to me now.
It's all coming back to me. Yeah, what must our dads have thought with us and these little, like, beauty salon bonnets getting our hair pulled? And wearing frosted tips. That's a shameful, shameful... Yeah. It's not just dishonorable, it's downright shameful.
Yeah, did your dad make eye contact with you after that? I'm trying to think back.
I don't think he's made eye contact with me since, now that I think about it. I can't blame him.
Yeah, somehow I thought you might go dishonorable there.
You predicted that one. What if I was like, well... Now I can't even do frosted tips anymore. Still, I don't even mind. Frosted tips, that's the worst you could possibly do. I don't even deserve to have hair after having done that to it. Like, let's be honest.
Is that one of, like, the main perks of being hairless?
No more, the temptation is really no longer there. I guess I could grow out the sides and frosted tip those, but I don't know how that would work. That actually sounds like a pretty cool hairstyle. Maybe I'll rock that.
I'm sure Guy Fieri can get behind that.
Now, is that... That's considered just straight up blonde, though. Fieri, right?
Yeah, but I could see him. I could see him being a proponent of you tipping the sides of your hair for some reason. It just.
Yeah. Okay.
He came to my mind. He came to my mind, and I put it out there.
I'd be willing to bet that Guy Fieri spent a significant amount of time rocking the frosted tip look. Because, I mean, I think that dyeing your hair is maybe, it's maybe like a gateway drug to go in full-on blonde, is the frosted tips.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm sad to say that I went full-on blonde for at least 1 year.
Yeah. There's actually, I remember a really funny incident with you and hair dye in our 7th grade football team. Not being blonde, but do you want to tell that story? Or do you want me to tell it?
I'm trying to remember, like, I think must have had my hair dyed, like, red or something.
Yeah, you dyed your hair, like, bright red, and we had brutal practices in our 7th grade team. Like, our practices were, like, non-stop cardio, which is so funny, because, like, all we did was, like, just run. We actually forgot, they didn't realize we had no idea how to play football. So when the first game started, we lost, like, 76-6.
We knew absolutely nothing about football, but we knew how to run up and down this hill.
But we weren't even remotely tired after the game. There. But anyway, so our coaches were real, real hard asses. And Pete dyes his hair, like, red. And then in the course of practice, like, the red hair dye comes off from the sweat, and it stains the helmet, like, red. And they are freaking out. Like, you're gonna have to scrub that thing till it's bleach white. And they're like, just, I don't know, like, what did they make you do? Like, it was definitely like the biggest thing, the worst thing you could have done, according to them.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's all coming back, but I don't remember what ever happened. I'm sure I had to, like, run extra, or probably had to take it home and clean it or something, but.
Yeah, you probably had to run overnight or something. I mean, how much? Run extra. Whole practice was running.
The day after we lost that first game, 76-2 or something, I don't even know. We had, like, maybe.
It was six.
72-6 or something.
It was like 76-6. And can I just brag for 1 second? Because I got a touchdown. Remember that? On a kickoff return. But it got called back. Like, what ref calls it back when they're down 60, but still? Got called back because Brett Johnson clipped.
That is... Well, he probably never knew what clipping was.
I can't block a guy in the back. Knew. Yeah.
I knew nothing about defense or offense.
Yeah, there was...
Going into that game. But yeah. I remember after that game, like, probably to this day, I've never been as tired as I was after the day after that game. We had to run so much. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I still think that I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm still kind of like, the reason I'm still in somewhat decent cardio shape right now is from all the exercise I did in 7th grade. Like, it still has lingering effects. All right.
Just push forward.
Yeah, okay. How about Sega Genesis?
Oh, come on. You know I gotta go honorable.
What game would you say is the most honorable Sega Genesis game?
So, in my mind, the most honorable is Street Fighter II Tournament Edition. No, Street Fighter II... Yeah, the TE Tournament Edition. I'm getting that confused with NBA Jam.
Yeah, because that's also in the running. It's got to be. You would go NBA Jam.
I almost did, but NBA Jam got too frustrating. I hated the way that it would make you miss shots if you were, like, ahead.
I feel like it did, like, the opposite of that, though. Like, to an extent, if you're on fire, that's a sign that you're probably winning. And being on fire, you still missed, which is stupid, but, like, you didn't miss very much.
Yeah, there's very little, like, being on fire in NBA Jam, and that's if you make 3 shots in a row without the other team scoring, then your ball turns to flames, and then you make, like, 90% of your shots, like, from wherever you shoot. It's almost, like, the most thrilling thing that I remember ever happening in a video game, like, getting on fire. Like, it was pretty sweet.
In a video game, I mean, really, in life, what tops being on fire? Very little.
Well, but I was much more of a Street Fighter 2 guy. Like, I played that game, like, as much as I could. I tried to beat it with, like, every character.
But who is...
I don't think I...
Who was your number one character, though?
Ken, the white guy.
I feel like I've asked you that before. I feel like we've talked about this. But,
so,
I never played as Ken. So, I don't know.
I don't know why I always liked Ken. And then, I was also really good with Chun-Li, but she's a little bit embarrassing to play with.
How so? Usually when I played with Chun-Li, I tried to, like, make the exact noises that she was making during the fights. Ah!
Yeah!
Yeah. It threw people off. And that's how I, won my Street Fighter matches.
You know who I also really liked was Vega. Because he could, like, he had the claw, and he could climb up the... If you knew the right code, like, he could climb up the fence and then do this, like, sweet, like, swan dive thing with his claw. Pretty awesome.
I can't even put into words how much I hated Vega. He was so hard. He always wrecked me. The first time I beat him, and he had to, like... You know, like, how in the losing screens it shows them all beat up, and his little mask was broken? That was one of the highlights of my 90s, for sure. I hate that guy. I think Saget was my boy. I'm a big fan of him. Also, E. Honda was up there. E. Honda, probably one of the cheapest guys of all time. I mean, you just mash one button and he does, like, this crazy arm punch. Like, this whirlwind arm punch. I really highly doubt anyone that sizable is going to be able to move their arm that fast.
Well, when you've studied as much ancient karate...
He was a sumo wrestler. He didn't know nothing about karate. And here's the thing about E. Honda.
He could also do, like, the head, the floating, like, head spear thing.
I don't think I was as advanced as you at Street Fighter.
Flying head spear is what I will call it.
One thing I'll say about E. Honda is, for a sumo wrestler, like, in a, like, would you say E. Honda was a pretty fat person, Pete?
He was a lot of muscle.
He was, okay, See, you stepped on it, though. Like, he should have been a fat person. Like, he's a sumo wrestler. He was ripped. He had, like, he was, like, built like Santa Claus, except for, like, they painted on a six-pack. It was asinine. He's the roundest person in the history of the world to have a six-pack.
He was a baller. The ones I didn't like was, like, Guile. Like, I could not master his moves very well. I don't know.
Sonic Boom!
Zangief. I hated Zangief. Like, yeah. I could not win with Zangief to save my life. His pile driver move was, like, so powerful. Like, if you pulled it off, like, you instantly won.
Yeah.
It was, like, impossible to do.
I was always mildly scared of Zangief. Not even mildly. I mean, he's pretty terrifying.
He haunts your dreams to this day.
Not the Zangief nightmare again. He pile drive me. I don't know. Yeah, I never really played him. I never played as him. I always dreaded playing him.
So if we're talking about Sega Genesis, like, the game that's most iconically Sega would be Sonic the Hedgehog, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, was sort of so-so for me. But it was kind of a cool game, but it kind of got boring too.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of hated it, to be honest. Like, I much prefer Mario to Sonic.
And to be honest, I preferred the Super Nintendo to Sega, but I had a Sega, so I'm down with the Sega, because that's what I had.
But grass is always greener on the other side, Pete.
The Super Nintendo, I mean, they had the Bomberman games.
Yeah, I never really got into the whole Bomberman craze. I don't know.
I still think it's, like, one of the best, like, games. If you have, like, four people, it's, like, such a fun game.
I feel like, I heard rumors that, our friend Bob, wasn't he kind of, like, a prodigy in the Bomberman world?
I don't know, Bob. If he hears this and he wants to play, I've got the Super Nintendo. I've got the four controller thing that we can hook up. We can make this happen, Bob.
Well, have you heard those rumors, too, though?
No, I don't know. I'm just trusting you.
Okay, maybe I made it up. But, yeah.
I'm sure Bob's kind of a prodigy at a lot of things, so.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
I can see that.
Like, it seems like it's true. That's why I even brought it up.
All right, let's move on to another 90s item. Just in the interest of time.
Sure.
Okay. I'll bring one up. How do you feel, honorable or dishonorable? I got too many good options here. Super Soakers.
Oh man, honorable till the day I die. Like, Super Soakers were where it's at. One of the finest, like, kids toys for boys of all time. What was the highest you ever had?
What's the highest?
Yeah, like, what's the high? Like, you'd be like a Super Soaker 50 or something.
Oh, I don't even know.
You like 50
I don't
feet?
Think I ever had, like, the awesome, like, the most awesome ones. I usually had the. Didn't they had some with, like, two different chambers.
Yeah, it became a real arms race in the Super Soaker world. I stuck with the 20. Like, I was kind of a pea shooter, but, It's not the gun, it's the person wielding it, and I was a Super Soaker assassin.
I don't doubt that. You've always been a kind of Weasley guy.
Oh, shots fired, but true.
Shots. I can see you just like.
Very wet shots fired.
Everyone's like putting away their guns and coming in for like lunch or something. I bet Andrew's just like waiting at the door for them all to come in. Soaking them superly.
Okay, well, I don't know how it was in your neighborhood, but in my neighborhood, like, people would do some crazy stuff. Like, it was a pretty hard knock life. I don't remember which one of the Hanes did it, but they put, like, vinegar in their Super Soaker because to, like, hurt, like, sting the eyes or something. Like, it was asinine.
Ooh. In my neighborhood, you put down the Super Soakers and you went to lunch as a unit.
That's how it should be.
We're kind of idealists.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story.
We also followed the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, there was it was more guerrilla warfare on 37th Street.
All right, I want to move it to. This is a better. I knew you were going to go honorable.
I got one. We have to do, but you can do this one first.
All right, honorable or dishonorable, Pogs.
I think. First of all, I'll just say dishonorable. I think Pogs are probably the most overrated item of 90s nostalgia. And people always bring it up as like kind of like the pinnacle of 90s nostalgia. But those were around for like 2 weeks. No one was really that into those for very long, at least in my circle.
Yeah, I was pretty into it because everyone was.
Everyone at Hillcrest, maybe. Glenwood was kind of above that.
Dude, Hillcrest, you had to like guard your pog case. It was all out war. Recess was just like everybody playing pogs. Like, it was crazy. And it was intense, and it was beautiful in a way. We learned about gambling. We learned about responsibility.
Oh, man. What was your favorite pog? What was your favorite slammer?
Dude.
That you had?
I had one that was kind of like a Ninja Star looking thing.
I thought they had to be round.
It was round, but it had little cutouts, sort of. It was basically round.
I don't think that would, like, pass muster at a real competition. It's got to be round. But go on.
Yeah, well, in Hillcrest, you'd be surprised. I can't remember. Like, what I do remember about Pogs is my parents did not really want to buy them for me, probably because they seemed like they were a complete waste of money.
Yeah.
My parents helped me make my own pogs out of like cardboard and printing paper, gluing it on cardboard and cutting it into a circle, which I wasn't that thrilled about, like bringing those to school.
That would be a tough sell for a kid. Very tough sell.
They're like, oh, you can make your own. We don't need to spend $20 on this little sleeve of cardboard.
But are you're not talking about making a slammer, though, right?
No, no. And I think I must have...
That's actually fine, then, because, I mean, you're just losing those ones. You know what I mean? Like, the cardboard ones are what you're losing, right? So it's actually kind of beneficial.
Yeah. You know, I never played, like, I never put those pogs on the table. Like, I brought them with me, but...
Yeah.
So anyways.
I was never really into it. I don't have too much to say about pogs, I'm sorry. But something that I was into, and I would give this the hardest honorable mention, is WWF in the 90s. How sick was that? But I won't try and... Not to put the words in your mouth, but...
I definitely watched a fair amount, not as much as you. For me, it was not like a... There was no pogs. I mean, come on.
It's probably a little too sophisticated for you.
But...
I mean,
I think I always liked it because you liked it, I guess, and... The moves were good. They had, like...
The Stone Cold Stunner? Like, what a baller... How much of a baller is Steve Austin? Austin 316.
Yeah, no, he was a big deal. There was... What was the... Man, I can't even remember.
The Undertaker, Mankind.
Oh, yeah.
Even the...
I was trying to think of their moves.
Oh, I got them. Which one? Who do you need to know?
What was the Undertaker's move?
Tombstone.
Tombstone.
He learned it from he learned it from Zangief. It was basically just a pile driver.
And what was Rikishi's move?
Oh, I didn't really... I don't mess... And Rikishi built exactly like E. Honda, yet somehow he had not even the slightest hint of a six-pack.
He maybe should have painted one on. Yeah. What was the one that was, like, basically you just, like, pile drive your feet into the person? Like, is the... Maybe it was just a made-up move on the trampoline.
Oh, the corn dog of death? That was just a made-up.
Yeah, but I feel like that was based on a move.
I don't think so. No, no. I was very creative when coming up with my moves. There was a guy called Goldust that would, like, put you in the corner and then just kick you in the nuts. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, maybe. That's a pretty hardcore move. That's not messing around.
Yeah, he's like Bobby Hill taking it to the next level.
Yeah, WWF... Definitely in its heyday. Do you feel like it has taken a downturn since then? The WWE?
I mean, I can't even really comment. I can just assume that it's not very good anymore. It just doesn't look at... It was just like the right age to be into it, I guess. I don't know. I think it'd probably be a little below me now. Could be wrong. What about the phrase, open up a can of whoop-ass? That's straight out of wrestling. That's a fantastic saying.
Yeah, and you don't hear that one anymore, which is, it's not like the saying as if, which you brought up earlier in the earlier podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that was a good one. I don't know. There was a lot of good things that came from it in, like, our world, and it was always fun to, like, recreate the moves or even just watch it. I remember, like, just, like, the insane, like, matches where they're, like, jumping off ladders and like, they just made up, like, the most ridiculous matches. And it was pretty fun. I'll give it a neutral.
A neutral is a dishonorable, I'm sorry.
I'll give it dishonorable, though, because it's also pretty horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. I think that that's the right answer, but out of sheer nostalgia's sake, I'll give it a hard honorable.
All right, let me get your opinion on this one.
Okay.
The Thong Song.
Cisco in general is just such a hard dishonorable.
So you weren't into that, huh?
I mean, in theory, it's a great idea. Actually, it's not. It's thong. Like, I don't like the direct, like, the exact rhyme kind of, I'm not a fan of.
It's too easy.
Yeah. So, yeah, big dishonorable. And Cisco, ugh. Speaking of bleach blonde hair, I think Cisco was, like, 5'2 or something, too.
You said it was, like, he passed away or something?
Well,
R.I.P.
He's passed away from pop culture. He had platinum hair. Wow, it's so bad.
Yeah, it was bright. It was like, if you're in the room, you're shielding your eyes, probably.
Yeah. It's like, turn that hair off, dude. It's a light switch.
That song has got to be, like, the most, like... Like, for, like, a song that reached, like, really high, like, levels in, like, the charts and stuff, it's got to be, like, one of the most... kind of just like creepiest, like pervy songs.
Oh, that's
maybe
we could do a whole podcast on what the creepiest pervy song to get into the like super popular. Because, like, what about Boys to Men? Like, they had in 1994, I was looking at this, the song of the year was I'll Make Love to You.
People just didn't hold back in the 90s.
Yeah, they didn't sugarcoat it. Just like thong song, I'll make love to you. What up?
And the Big Butt song.
I like.
And who? Yeah. And who let the dogs out? I mean,
that wasn't that 2000s. The Baja Men's.
No.
You don't think so? I'm guessing it's definitely 2000.
There's no way Who Let the Dogs Out was definitely probably 98.
It's 2000 on the dot.
I don't buy it for a second.
You think someone's just messing with the internet?
Did it say that in Google or Bing?
It's Google, Pete. It's Google official.
Dang it. Alright, so give me another 90s.
Okay. We're probably going to be wrapping this up pretty quickly, though. So I got to get going in about 15 minutes ago. But really in 7. Okay, so...
Alright, you finish with, or do you want me to do one more, and then we do the patron saint of the 90s and call it good?
I have, yeah, okay, perfect. I have no more must-dos, so if you have one you really want to do, let's do that. Although, let me just briefly say, 90s cartoons were awesome, and 90s Nickelodeon, too, like, all that.
I was going to drop Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, man, that has got to be one of the best game shows of all time. Did anyone ever complete it? I seem to remember no one ever quite seemed to do it.
I don't know. But it was pretty fun to watch.
How fun would it have been to do?
Or like the, What Would You Do? I like that one.
I don't remember. What Would You Do?
Am I getting that wrong? What was the one where they had the pies that came in the face and stuff?
I honestly don't know. But like we already discussed, you're more 90s than I am, so...
Double Dare.
No, that was pretty money. Is that... I mean, Double Dare is the one where you dump all the gack or... the what was the Nickelodeon goo stuff called?
Oh, was it just goo? Or geek, gack, geek,
no, gack. No, gack was stuff you played with it. That was at-home stuff. They had, like... It was just slimed. Like, it was, like...
Oh, yeah.
I think you got slimed. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it was just, like... radioactive green looking stuff.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't know, sort of, yeah. I didn't actually have Nickelodeon growing up. My parents didn't have cable, so I only watched it at other people's houses. So,
yeah, we intermittently had Nickelodeon. It wasn't a consistent thing.
Alright.
But, man, Kenan and Kel, what a great show that was. Who loves orange soda? Kel loves the orange soda. I'm not going to say that was a great impression, but man, that show was good. Okay, so what's your what's one 90s thing from you?
All right, how about this? Just Warheads versus Gushers.
First of all, that is not a competition. Warheads were, like, gross and terrible. He's like,
we were like so popular.
I'm going to punish myself with this awful candy. I must have done something terrible. Gushers were like, I think my parents stopped getting them because it was like, Gushers were in the house. Gushers lasted like 45 minutes. I would go ham.
The thing is, there's no, like, you get no bragging status after eating a Gusher. Like, there's no pride in finishing a Gusher.
What do you mean?
If you make your way through a warhead.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was just like, what food do you get pride in eating? And then I remembered we were just talking about warheads. Yeah, that was, like, bragging status. I'm sure some people have, like, as the top line of their resume, like, took down 3 atomic warheads at once.
And I'll just put it out there, I never ate warheads. They were, like, scary to me.
Yeah, I was pretty warhead-averse myself. I probably had, like, maybe... I had them occasionally, just, you know, giving in to peer pressure, but...
One thing that's just all of a sudden starting to stand out to me from our 90s experience was... Remember the quarters game with, like, the bloody knuckles? That was pretty baller.
Yeah. That game was savage.
We just, like, we got in trouble, I think, from your parents for playing it too much because our, I don't know why, probably because our knuckles were getting infected.
I wonder how many people went down to knuckle infections in the 90s playing quarters. It's the second leading cause of death behind secondhand smoking.
You got, like, everyone had a little bit different strategy on how they flung the quarter into the knuckle.
Yeah, and you know what it was like?
It was always...
It was like the paper football, but... Next level.
Right. We've always been to the next level.
It was like paper football. Because it was grounded. Okay. Alright, so let's do the patron saint of the 90s. I think... And you can totally say this is not right, but I think it's gotta be Kurt Cobain. I mean, the grunge is one of the most 90s things of all time. He was the leader of grunge. And he died super dramatically in the 90s. Plus, I mean, his hair was like kind of like naturally frosted tipped. Like it was like sun bleached.
Huh.
Can you top that? Can you top Kurt Cobain? The thing is, he was only alive for half of it.
You know, it's like, it's hard because it's not like he like really embraced the 90s, you know?
But the 90s didn't embrace the 90s. That's the most 90s thing about the 90s.
Because if I was going to go patron saint of the 90s, it'd probably be Zach Morris.
Yeah. It's tough to argue with that.
I mean, that is everything 90s. That is like the Thong Song and Pogs and Frosted Tips all in one.
I don't know, though, dude. I kind of want to stand by Kurt here. Can there be twin patron saints? Like, can we have dual patron saints?
Sure. Yeah, you always need options in your prayers.
That's true.
Well, I don't know. I guess I should wrap it up there. Check your recording. Were you actually recording?
No, I wasn't. Whoops. Oh, well.
All right, well... Actually, I'm not nearly out of things we could talk about the 90s. We could have gone Mood Rings. We could have gone Spin Art, the Macarena, Goosebumps, okay. Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, Carmen Sandiego. I'm sad we didn't talk about that. Yeah, we could have talked about Ricky Martin, no doubt. Ace of Base, Salt and Pepper. Like, Shoopa Doop. could have talked about if you had to pick a Spice Girl to be an honorable mention, which one would it be? AOL, Beepers, Beanie Babies, Doug.
The Furby,
yes.
Recess.
Maybe we could do a part 2 on the 90s sometime.
Recess. Yeah, we could easily do a part 2, part 3, maybe part, yeah.
Yeah, but for now, I gotta go get a coconut. I'm just messing up my sign off. I'm gonna go get a coconut popsicle.
Alright, toodaloo.
That was Casting Pot with Pete and Andy.